Good evening back. Yes, thanks very much, Alistair. I had started here by saying my name is Matthew, but you've introduced me already, so I'm Matthew. I'm the new pastor in training here at Carruthers, and it's a joy to be able to share God's word this evening with you on our last night here at 65 High Street before we move to the Faith Mission temporarily and to the German-speaking church. So during our Sunday evenings, we are going through Hebrews 11. And we're going to be going through looking at all the different characters. And Sean set us up about 2 weeks ago, where he introduced the series and he called the characters like heroes. And as we meet them, we're going to see the faith that they had in the unseen, in God's reality. And tonight we're looking at the first character, Abel. And again, Alistair, you summed up Abel really, really well. And it's found in Hebrews 11, verse 4. So if you want, you can turn to Hebrews 11, verse 4. And the pastor in Hebrews reveals the importance of having faith in God. So let's read Hebrews 11, 4 together, first of all. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. I wonder how many of you have picked up the most recent phase of running. I know it's not new, but it seems to be a new phase where people like to go out for runs. Wherever you go, you see people running 5Ks, 10Ks, half marathons, marathons, ultra marathons. They have the latest watches, the most up-to-date trainers, training regimes. Undisciplined people are suddenly becoming disciplined. It seems that it's taken over. Well, the furthest I've ever got was a half marathon, and it was a couple of years ago. And as I was training, I was extremely driven. I was motivated. I had the end goal in mind. I wanted to run this half marathon and do it well. I actually wanted to beat my wife's time, but I was building up the distances day by day, 3 training sessions a week. I was focused on that day, varying the terrain. And I finally came, and thankfully I was able to complete it. I didn't beat my wife. But a number of weeks later, I decided to go out for a run. And I thought it should be easy. A couple of weeks ago, I just ran a half marathon. I should be really fit. But it wasn't. I was really sluggish. And without the end goal of that half marathon, I just struggled through. It wasn't enjoyable. It was unsatisfying. And I just felt miserable. You see, the problem with it was that my motivation was gone. My motivation on that end goal of the half marathon was gone. And motivation is something that we can rely so much on. I don't know what you're motivated right now. Do you not find like September is like a time for a new year where you can start things new? Maybe you've come to uni for the first time, or maybe this could be your second, third, fourth, whatever year, and you've decided, I'm motivated that I'm going to really stick to my studies. I'm going to attend all my lectures, going to be on time, I'm going to stay up to date with my reading. Or maybe you're motivated to spend more time with your friends, to do more physical exercise, to be more punctual, maybe get more involved in church life as we make this move to Faith Mission and the German-speaking church. Or maybe you're now motivated to read and to pray more and just grow and get to know God on a deeper level. You see, motivation can transform the outcome of our actions. But then sometimes we're not motivated. We mightn't be motivated to study. And that changes how we attend lectures. That changes how we read things. And usually the outcome is never good. You're completely unprepared for that assessment. I have previous experience in that. Or maybe you're unmotivated to spend time with your friends. And, you know, you spend time with your friends with one eye on your watch, thinking, when is the next acceptable time that I can leave? And suddenly your friendships become shallow. Or you're unmotivated to be involved in church. You still go to church, but we don't engage properly, and suddenly we just find ourselves drifting along without any desire to know and to love God. Motivations are key to the Christian faith. What is our motivation in everything we do? As we look at the story of Abel, we're going to see the motivation that Abel had. We're going to unpack the faith that Abel had. You see, Abel was motivated by a heart of faith in God's promises. Abel was motivated by a heart of faith in God's promises. And this evening, we're going to see the importance of having the right motivation and a heart of faith in God. Firstly, Abel had a faith in God. You see, Alistair read from Genesis, we read about two brothers. The first two children of Adam and Eve, the first two children after the fall and sin had entered the world, Cain and Abel. Both boys were working boys. One was a keeper of the sheep and one was a worker of the ground. Both the boys brought a sacrifice. One of them, their sacrifice was accepted, and the other, his offering wasn't. But there's something confusing here in this passage in Genesis. You see, they both followed the same ritual. Cain was a worker of the ground, so he brought what he was working with. He brought fruit. Abel, likewise, was a keeper of the sheep. And so he brought a sheep and offered up firstborn of his sheep. You see, they both followed the same ritual. They both brought an offering with what they were working with. Cain, the worker of the ground, brought fruit from the ground. Abel brought a sheep because he was a keeper of the sheep. And it all makes sense that they would follow that ritual, that they would offer up those things. Until in verse 4, we read, and this is in Genesis 4. The Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. But in verse 5, for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. That seems unfair. Both followed the same ritual. Both offered what they worked with. Both offerings would have been costly. When I was first initially looking at this, I thought, well, surely the sheep was more costly. And then I thought about Cain. And Cain, with all the labor that would have been involved in harvesting the fruit, there's no machinery, there's no equipment. He wouldn't have just scooped the fruit up and threw it down. It would have actually been costly. There would have been toil involved for both sacrifices. So why would God accept one and not the other? Well, let's think back to when Sean introduced Hebrews 11. And in verse 3, Sean explained the difference between God's reality and our reality, human reality. And here we see the outplay of this. In our reality, we see no difference in the sacrifice or in the offering. The two brothers make offerings in the same manner. But in God's reality, there is a difference. God can see something that we can't as humans. What God looks at is different to what we human beings focus on. In 1 Samuel 16:7, we read, for the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. We can't see what Cain and Abel's heart is like. But God can. This is what God is most concerned about. It's about their heart. Cain and Abel made their offerings in the same manner, but they had completely different motivations. Almost like a mugger and a surgeon. Okay, so both may use a knife to cut skin, but one is intending harm and the other is intending healing. They both follow the similar actions, but it's very different outcomes. I think you and I would be happy to go under, well, happy-ish to go under a knife of a surgeon, and certainly not a mugger, because the surgeon's motivation is right. Because his heart is right. And so in Hebrews 11:4, we see Abel's motivation. The first two words, by faith, Abel. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice. You see, Abel was focused on God. He had faith in God, and that was the most important thing. He had faith in the promises of God, and through the same action, the motivation then that he had means a different outcome. You see, the outcome of Abel's faithful sacrifice was that he was commended as righteous. He was commended as righteous because of his faithful sacrifice. His gifts were accepted by God. All because he made his offering with the right motivation, with the right heart. Faith in God and his promises. Abel's motivation was by faith. But Cain came from a completely different avenue. Abel's motivation was by faith, but Cain, well, God knew the heart of Abel, God knew the heart of Cain. In Genesis 4:7, we see God saying, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at us at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. God knew that sin's desire was contrary to Cain because God knew Cain's heart. He could only know that if he knew his heart. See, God knew that Cain's heart was evil. Yes, he completed all the rituals, and for you and I, it looks great. He ticks the boxes. But unfortunately, Cain, his heart was far from God. And just like Abel's motivation and his action delivered a positive outcome in righteousness, unfortunately, Cain's outcome isn't the same. The outcome of Cain's sacrifice and how he does and how he does it, anger and resentment comes from it. That then led to him killing his innocent brother, which ultimately led to Cain being cursed to the ground. You see, we have two similar actions, but two different hearts. One of faithfulness, one of evil, resulting in two different outcomes. Righteousness for Abel and cursed for Cain. And as we look at Abel's sacrifice, we see how important it is not what he sacrificed, but what he was motivated in. And how he sacrificed. It's a real challenge for us today. Where is our heart? Where is my heart? Am I being faithful in everything that I do? When we're singing songs of worship, do I get really into it because it's a good song? Do I get really into it because it's really good and it makes me look good? Or do I worship the God of this universe because of all that he has done with my words? When I read my Bible, am I doing it just to tick a box? Just because it's something I have to do every single day? And it's a good thing, of course, to do. But am I doing it to really know and love God better? Maybe I serve ministries just out of obligation. Or maybe I quite like the acknowledgement it might give me or the status it might give. But do I do it because I love Jesus and I want to share him with others? As I arrive at university, do I abstain from getting drunk and partying every night because it's the Christian thing to do? But ultimately, my heart is there. I want to be there. And I have resentment for actually having to stay home and not go out. Or do I refrain from those things because loving Jesus is so much better than anything the world can throw at me? At work, do I avoid the conversations that are not God glorifying, that are not helpful? But actually, my social media reels would actually show a different story. Or is my heart so full of Jesus, I just want to talk about things that bring honor to him? Maybe as we move to the faith mission and we move out of here temporarily, are we going to just fall into the same rituals, setting up, taking down? And we forget the real reason we're there, to worship our God as one body. You might be here and you might be thinking this and think, my heart actually isn't right. I feel like a fake, the imposter syndrome. And you might wonder, am I actually more like Cain than Abel? I think if we're all honest with ourselves, we all fall into that category one way or the other. We try to take the reins and we try and do things and go through the rituals to make ourselves more Christian. But actually our heart is far from there. So what do I do to change my heart? What hope do I have? It's amazing actually, in Genesis 4 we actually read about God giving Cain another chance. He said, if you do well, will you not be accepted? He's given Cain the chance. If Cain was not offered another chance, then so are we. And what are we going to do with it? See, just as Abel had faith in God, let's focus our hearts and realign ourselves to God so that we too will have faith in God. Not just for show, but a heart for God and his ways. See, we should desire a full heart after God because Abel's faith still speaks today. Abel's faith still speaks today. Now, that sounds a bit strange because Abel isn't here. So why on earth would he speak today? Well, in Hebrews 11:4, we read at the end of it, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. He still speaks. This is really important for us to pay attention to. Three parts in the Bible we see about Abel speaking, though he is dead. Okay, so linking those two, his death and speaking. And we're going to look back at the first part in Genesis 4:10. And this is when Cain unjustly killed his innocent brother. God came to find him, even though God knew probably where he was. God came to find him. And when Cain is found, God asks, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. You see, Abel's blood was crying from the ground, crying out for justice. And then it is from that moment of the crying out for justice that then God, the just God, deals with it, deals with a penalty through judgment and curses Cain to the ground. See, Abel's blood is calling, avenge me. And so Cain is cursed. Abel's blood cries out, avenge me. And Cain is cursed. And in the third place, we see speaking of the blood of Abel and speaking is in Hebrews 12:24. And we see about Jesus here. And it says, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. The writer of Hebrews now shows Jesus as the mediator. And he draws a comparison to Abel's death. And that Jesus speaks the better word. We look back to Genesis 4 and we see that Abel's innocent death, his blood cries out for vengeance, and Cain is cursed. There was God's wrath in play as he avenged the sin of Cain through cursing him. And in Hebrews 12, it is through another innocent death that we can have faith in. Jesus. Jesus' blood speaks a better word as he has taken the curse of Cain, and indeed all of us, on the cross. Film Gladiator, I don't know if anyone's seen it. I'm sure some of you have. But there's a famous, if you've seen the film, you'll know the famous speech that comes from Maximus Decimus Meridius. I will not try and do an impression. It goes, "My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the armies of the north, general of the Felix legions, loyal servant to the true emperor, Marcus Aurelius, father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife, and I will have my vengeance in this life or in the next." You see, this soldier, Maximus, he cries out at the injustice of the people that he is fighting in front of. They deposed his emperor, Marcus Aurelius, who he's loyal to. They murdered his son. They murdered his wife. And so he is seeking revenge. He is seeking justice. And with this story that we're reading about with Cain and Abel, there is injustice. As innocent Abel is killed, his blood cries out for vengeance, and God avenges the innocent as he judges and deals justly through cursing Cain. You see, Abel's innocent blood cries out for vengeance, and so God curses Cain. But we have another innocent blood. Jesus' innocent blood. Jesus' innocent blood is shed on the cross. He bore the curse of all who went before, and including us and Cain. And it is through his shed blood and he speaks forgiveness. Jesus' innocent blood bore the curse of Cain and our sinfulness, and his blood speaks the blessing. Forgive them. Forgive us. God has taken the curse of all of us with our sinful hearts through the cross so that we might be forgiven and not cursed. Isn't this amazing? And this offer is for anyone. Anyone. See, we've all sinned and we can't fix the problem. The God of this universe has stepped in and sent his son Jesus, who lived an innocent life and took the punishment for us. He shed his blood so that we'd be forgiven. So we wouldn't have the burden of sin and the burden that carries on us. And all we have to do is accept the forgiveness of Jesus. If you haven't accepted Jesus, this is your chance. You see, the reason we can have faith in God is because of Christ. It's not because of us. It's because of him. Because we are forgiven. We are saved not because of what we have done, but because of what Jesus has done and who Jesus is. This gives us authority through the Holy Spirit to be like Abel, so we can have faith in Jesus, that he died for us And because of him, we can have full hearts wanting to live for him. This truth gives us the ability to be able to have a changed motivation. The right motivation. So that we can sing songs here in worship to God because of who he is and what he has done. We can read and listen to God's word because I want to know and love him more because of what he has done for me. I serve in church, I serve in CU and other ministries because I want others to experience God's love that I have experienced in my life, that they too can be forgiven. I refrain from partying every night and going out and get drunk because Jesus is better, and spending time with him, there is no substitute to that. I ensure my conversation is God glorifying because I want to become more like Jesus. And as we move across to the Faith Mission and the German-speaking church in Fernie Hill, as we do all the setting up and the taking down, we do it because we get to worship God and we get to worship Jesus as one body. But maybe you're thinking, how? How can I just suddenly flick a switch and just suddenly start having faith? Like, I know I must, I know I should. But it's because of what Jesus has done. It's in response to what he has done that we do that. To have faith similar to Abel. But I do still find it hard just to switch my motivation. You know, going back to that run after my half marathon, I was busting it. I was trying my best to switch the motivation. And I just couldn't do it. Because I didn't have that focus. Thankfully, the pastor in Hebrews knows this, and he shares in chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. This evening we've looked at the faith of Abel and how his faith still speaks today in the innocent blood of Jesus. And Abel is one of these cloud of witnesses in Hebrews 12, that has gone before us. And so our motivation, what are we to do? We are to look to Jesus. We are to fix our eyes on Jesus. Look into Jesus because he is the founder of our faith. He is the perfecter of our faith. It is because of him that we actually can run the race because he found our faith. And he is shaping us to be more like him. He is the perfecter of our faith. So our motivation, how do we get a heart full of faith? It's Jesus. Someone asked me yesterday, but how, what do I need to do? And I realized it's actually just more simple than we make it out. If we were to start doing, we suddenly just back to the rituals. But we are to look to Jesus and put him above everything else because he is the founder. He is the perfecter of our faith. And we are motivated by looking to him. So, for us today, to have a heart motivated by God, which will please him and enables case made righteousness. And we have that hope and glory of righteousness. What are we to do? We are to look to the founder of our faith, the perfecter of our faith. We are to look to Jesus. Let me pray as we close. Father, you know our hearts, and we thank you that you do know our hearts. And Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that it is through his innocent blood that we can have faith. We thank you that it is through his innocent blood that we can avoid the curse that is set before us. And Father, we thank you that it is through Jesus' innocent blood that we have forgiveness and hope. Father, I pray that you would help us now as we go from here to not just do the tick and boxes exercise, but to have hearts of faith in you because of what you have done through Jesus Christ. We thank you for Jesus. Help us now, Father, as we go from here to look to Jesus, to fix our eyes on him so that we can have hearts that are full of faith in God. Amen.